Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. Our subject today is wealth or poverty. And the Bible takes us from Proverbs chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. There it says, "Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is this Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." Amen.
Amen.
The Bible talks a lot about money and wealth. Money has always been one of the most misunderstood topics of Christian life. Some voices confidently say God wants every believer to be rich. Others warn wealth can pull you away from God. So whom should we believe? The real answer isn't found in popular opinion. It's found in the Word of God. From Abraham's blessing to Paul's contentment in all circumstances, Scripture gives us a balanced, eternal view of wealth. Does God want every believer to become rich? Those who preach this, they have a lot of followers. If I was preaching this, this place would be full. They say, if only you believe and give towards our ministry, you become rich. And if you don't become rich, you don't believe. You didn't give enough to our ministry. Wealth is not an indicator of our spiritual status. Jesus calls us to take up a cross, which requires a great sacrifice. Is it wrong to be wealthy? The Bible never condemns wealth itself. Some of God's most faithful servants were blessed with great riches. Abraham, he had flocks and herds and silver. Of Isaac, it says he was extremely wealthy. And King Solomon was known for unmatched wisdom and abundance. These blessings were given as a testimony of God's faithfulness. The issue is not whether we have wealth, but whether wealth has us. When money is used as a tool to honor God and serve others, it can become a powerful means of blessing. Is poverty more spiritual? Poverty in itself is not a spiritual badge of honor. While Scripture calls us to humility and warns against greed, it does not say that having little automatically makes anyone righteous. Many are poor due to circumstances beyond their control. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "There will always be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land." So God says here in Deuteronomy that there will always be poor people. God's heart is for compassion and generosity, not for the glorification of poverty. Holiness comes from obedience, from faith and love, not from the size of your bank account. Some preachers teach that the idea that every believer is meant to be financially rich, and if you're not, something is wrong with your faith. But this is not what the Bible says. The Bible warns that chasing after wealth can lead to spiritual disaster. And Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This doesn't mean God never blesses his children financially. It means that wealth is not promised everyone as a guarantee of your faith. In fact, Jesus himself and many apostles lived with very little worldly, by worldly standards, yet they were rich by in their faith and purpose and eternal rewards. God's blessings are more than money. When we limit God's blessing to material wealth, we shrink his greatness. True blessings include peace that surpasses understanding, joy in trials, and spiritual gifts, wisdom, and eternal life. Other times he withholds it to protect our hearts or teach us deeper dependence on him. Either way, his blessings are always for good and his glory. The question then is whether being rich is a gift from God. Yes, it is, but with an important condition. The Bible shows that wealth can be a gift from God, yet it's never given without purpose or responsibility. Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. When wealth is gained through honest work and wise stewardship and God's favor, it can be a sign of blessing. But this blessing always comes with the expectation that we honor him in how we use it. The rich have a responsibility. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Wealth is not a trophy to display, but a tool to serve. God blesses us so that we can bless others, caring for the poor, funding the spread of the gospel, and meeting the needs around us. When used in this way, riches can store up eternal rewards far beyond any earthly bank account. But why does God make some rich and some poor? This is a question that has puzzled believers for centuries. Why do some seem to have more money, more than enough, while others struggle daily? The Bible reminds us that God is sovereign over every circumstance and his purpose goes far deeper than we often realize. We read in Proverbs 22, verse 2. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord makes them all, is a maker of them all. Sometimes he blesses materially to provide resources for a mission. Oftentimes he allows lack to develop trust, humility, and eternal perspective. His plans are always rooted in his wisdom and love. The rich are called to be faithful stewards, using their resources for God's kingdom. The poor are called to trust him as provider. Both positions can glorify God when lived in obedience. Our worth is not measured by the size of our bank account, but by the size of our surrender to him. What kind of riches does God want for you? God's definition of rich is far greater than financial abundance. The richest person in God's eyes is one overflowing with faith, clothed in righteousness, and filled with the joy of his presence. Whether we have little or much, our greatest treasure is not in what we own, but in who owns us. And when our hearts belong fully to Christ, we are rich beyond measure, now and for all eternity. God is far more concerned with the condition of our hearts than about the condition of our wallets. Scripture shows that the richest he values most are spiritual treasures that last forever. James chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom?" Faith is the currency of heaven. Even those with little by earthly standards can be overflowing with trust in God, a treasure worth more than gold. Paul in Christ believes in 1 Timothy 6:18 to be rich in good deeds. Rich in good deeds. This wealth multiplies as we give it away as acts of kindness, generosity, and service that reflect Christ's love for the world. Jesus warns in Luke 12:21 against storing up earthly treasures while being poor toward God. True real wealth comes from a heart devoted to him, storing up eternal rewards in heaven. God's blessings are not at random. They often flow through a principle found in his word. Is money the root of all evil? No, it is not. The Bible never says that. Money is neutral. It's a material. It doesn't have a mind. It doesn't have a feeling. The love of money is the root of all evil. There are more warnings about riches in the Bible than there are ways in which money will help believers. 1 Timothy 6 warns us that there will be constant friction among people who are depraved in mind, deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. We read 1 Timothy 6:6-10. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, we cannot take anything out of the world. But we have food, if we have food and clothing, with these you will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. God wants us to prosper in all things, as it is written in John, 3 John, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be good, may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul." Now, the New King James Version translates like this: "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." Many misunderstand this verse, thinking that Jesus was Gaius to prosper financially. But to prosper is not only finances, but you can prosper in many ways. John's prayer for Gaius was that he was prospering and fulfilled and satisfied in all of his life. To Timothy, Paul wrote, 1 Timothy 4:8, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable in all ways." Profitable and prosperity is the same. To be prosperous and successful is not only money, but means joy, fulfillment, satisfaction, and to have peace at heart and mind. We are already rich because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." The wisest man to have ever lived on this earth, with the exception of Jesus, was Solomon. He prayed to God, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?'" Solomon, who had more riches than anything you can imagine, understood what having everything you wanted was like, and he found it to be a stumbling block. He asked God to not allow him to be poverty, to give him poverty or riches. He wrote that if we are rich, we will forget God, because he will be self-sustaining, because who needs God if you have everything that you already want? Solomon knew that it's better to keep your life free from the love of money and become content with what you have. It took Solomon a lifetime to discover that having everything you ever wanted brings no true joy. He wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, "I deny myself nothing my eyes desire. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun." If Jesus equated God's blessings to have wealth, then Jesus was not blessed. Because Jesus says in Matthew 8:20, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Can we imagine if Jesus was living on earth today, that he would drive a Bentley car and wear a Rolex watch? Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. In Luke 12, 33 and 34, Jesus says, the true riches would come to those who sell their possession, who sell their possessions and give it to the poor. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. That does not mean we should give away everything that we have, but we should give to store up treasure in heaven and not on earth. Someday all things on this earth will cease to exist. But what is sent ahead to heaven will remain forever. If you love money, you do not love God. God is not against prosperity, but against those who covet riches. In Revelation it says, those who are victorious will inherit all this, eternal life with God in heaven, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Because, what Romans 8:17 says, because we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If we are heirs of God, then everything is ours. But everything is not necessarily money. Everything includes much more than dollars or euro or francs. I may have a little of that, but my currency in heaven is in heaven, and it's not material. It's spiritual in heaven, and that will last forever. And one day we will go to that place, and we will have a lot of everything, more the sea and the streets are made of gold. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.